Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we thankful for Sunday morning? Hallelujah. Any new creations in the house? Oh, I praise God. I praise God. Man, I thank God for Sunday morning, man. I thank God for Sunday morning. Because each and every single one of us have had a Saturday night. Every single one of us have had a Saturday night where the devil thought that he was going to win. We have had a Saturday night where the devil thought he was going to win. And there was a Saturday night that the devil thought he had won. But then Sunday morning came and a stone rolled away. And I'm not just talking about Jesus, because it was God that rolled the stone away from your life. It was God who gave you new life. It was God who gave you what you needed in order for you to see a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And I praise God. I praise God, man. We have been talking about the Magnificat. The Magnificat, the merciful God that we serve. And in these things, how he deserves to be proclaimed and magnified as the Lord, as the King of Kings, the ruler of our lives. Hallelujah. And as I continued to just look into, God, what is the Magnificat? Who is the Magnificat? Right? Who is the Magnificat? And it brought me here. It says that the Magnificat is a canticle used in Christian liturgy, especially at Vespers and Evensong. Those are our evening prayers. And it's the text that's being a hymn of the Virgin Mary. And it brings us to Luke 1:46-55. So the Magnificat is a song. It is a song that Mary sang from deep inside her spirit as she allowed God to mold and shape not just any child, but the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. So in Luke 1:46 it says, and Mary said, my soul, my very soul exalts the Lord. My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. She's experiencing God firsthand. She's experiencing the Son of God firsthand. And it's causing her to praise him, her spirit, her soul, to magnify him. In verse 48, it says, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Will count me blessed. All generations will count me blessed. I want to highlight the fact that she's saying that all generations will count her blessed because of what God has done in her life. It does not say that all generations will worship me. It's not saying that all generations will worship me. No. It's saying that all generations will count me blessed because God did something, not Mary. Because God did something. She says, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy, holy is his name. Holy, holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. On generation after generation toward those who fear him. The mercy that God had poured out into Mary, the mercy that he had poured out onto his bondslave, was a mercy that didn't impact just Mary, but impacted generation after generation for those who fear him, for those who call Jesus Lord. And Pastor Michal, he preached earlier this month about finding out what is your net worth. And I pray that since that sermon, you guys have discovered what your net worth is. But once you figure out what your net worth is, what we want to talk about are the residuals of mercy. The residuals of mercy. Because it's all good and dandy for you to know your net worth, but what residuals are being drawn from that worth that God has deposited in you? Amen? Hallelujah. Are we ready for the word today? Woo! Woo! Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, O Lord. I pray, O God, that your words would be uttered from this altar, O God. I pray that you would hide me, O God, and that you, Heavenly Father, would be the one that is being glorified here today, O God. Help us, O Lord, to be able to tap into the residuals of mercy. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to bleed out, O God. Bleed out that mercy into those who we come in contact with daily, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray that you would be the one, O God, to receive all of the glory, honor, and praise today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So we go back into verse 50 of Luke 1. His mercy, his mercy, his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. And her song continues, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. Oh, I praise God for his word, because in this world, sometimes it seems like there are people who are in control. There are people who are in power, and they have no idea who God is. They have no idea who God is on this earth. But God says that he brings down rulers from their thrones and exalts those who are humble enough to know that they are nothing more than servants to a king. They are nothing more than slaves to righteousness. And he exalts them because they have first exalted him. Because they had first exalted him. In verse 53, it says, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. Praise God for a good meal. Hallelujah. But you see, God isn't just talking about food. He's not talking about just food. Because if he was talking about just food, it would have said he has filled the hungry with good food. It says he has filled them with good things. You see, saints of God, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, God is faithful to feed you. God is faithful to give you drink. And when there are those in the world who are hungry and they are thirsty and they are looking for food in the world, they are looking for drink in the world. And every single time they go and eat of the world, they come back. They can't even leave the table before they're hungry again. They can't even put the glass down before they're thirsty again. But when we allow God to be the one that fills us, the hungry, with good things, saints, we will never be hungry and thirsty again. Because God is the only one that can satisfy your every single need on this earth. God is the only one that can satisfy every single need that you have on this earth. In verse 54, he has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. In remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Forever. You see, when God speaks, it doesn't just impact the moment. when God speaks, it doesn't just impact the person. When God speaks, it impacts the whole timeline. It impacts the whole timeline. When God speaks, it's in that moment, but it is still as relevant forever. Forever. Do y'all know how long forever is? Longer than any of us will live. I'll tell you that right now. Longer than any one of us are going to be able to live in this suit anyway. Well, after we're gone, that word that God spoke is still going to have weight. It's still going to have weight. Why? Because he spoke that word to you, but it's impacting generation after generation, because his word is forever. Forever. Hallelujah. In Acts 2, beginning at verse 16, it says, "But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel." It says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams." The Spirit of God has been poured out, not just on the people inside the four walls of a church. Are you hearing me? The Spirit of God has not been poured out only for the people who congregate inside the walls of a four church, the four walls of a church. The Spirit of God has been poured out for all mankind. If you have breath in your lungs, God created you. And if God created you, he breathed his spirit into you. And it says that you have the ability to prophesy. You have the ability to see things that God wants you to see in vision. You have the ability to dream dreams as if they were taking place in the throne room of God. All of mankind has that ability. The problem is that those who have decided not to give God glory, those who have decided not to allow God into their life, they have decided not to speak prophecy, but to stay mute. They have decided not to see vision, but to remain blind. They have decided not to dream dreams, but have a seared mind. They have chosen the world over the creator of it. They have chosen the world over the creator of it. Saints of God, I don't know about you, but these are those last days. These are those last days. I have been experiencing people dreaming dreams. I have been experiencing people having visions. I have been experiencing prophecy in my own life. God depositing these very things even within me. Church, these are the last days, and you are the army he has raised. You are the army he has raised. Let me stand over here, and I'm going to speak to you guys right in here in the camera. You are the army he has raised. And God doesn't want you being comfortable watching him from your house. He wants you to watch him in his house. Yes. This is all fine. This is great. This is dandy. But if God has given you strength, if God has given you the ability, God has given you the opportunity to come into his house and worship him with the saints. With the saints. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got the ability to go on vacation, if you've got the ability to go on excursions, if you've got the ability to go out and enjoy the world, you better have the ability to come worship God. Amen. You have to have it, because God needs to be number one in your life. God needs to be number one in your life. Because if he's not number one in your life, he's got a vision for you to see that you're not seeing. He's got a prophecy for you to give that you're not giving. He's got dreams for you to have that you're not allowing to let yourself see. But the only way that these things are possible, the only way these things are possible is if we understand that God is king in your life. God is king in your life. And I love the word of God because we could be general and say all mankind. But he goes on even in verse 18 and says, even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit and they shall prophesy. My bond slaves, says God, my bond slaves, those who have chosen to be slaves of righteousness over slaves of sin, slaves of the world, slaves of the enemy. God says, those who have decided to be slaves of righteousness and serve me, you will prophesy. Saints, God has a whole other spiritual level for us to operate in. God has a whole other spiritual level for us to operate in. We need to stop operating in the flesh suit. We need to stop operating in the flesh suit and start operating in the Spirit of God that he has deposited in you. Because he has work to do. He has work to do. It says, and I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. Saints, even the rocks, the dirt, the sun, the moon, they won't even have a choice but to show the glory of who God is. Because when God speaks the word, they are forced to do the work. They will be forced to do the work. Oh, how merciful is God that he doesn't force us to do the work. He calls us to do the work. Saints, are you going to do the work? Are you going to do the work? There's people who are sick that need healing. There's people who are in bondage who need freedom. There's people who need deliverance. And God has called you to do the work. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. Saints, oh, Father in heaven, hallelujah. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's a difference between calling on the name of the Lord and saying the name Jesus. There's a difference between calling on the name of the Lord and saying the name Jesus. And if you're in this house today, you have had to call on the name of the Lord. There are those that were calling out. They said, God, I need a healing. And they're calling on the name of the Lord for that healing. God, I need deliverance. And they're calling on the name of the Lord for that deliverance. God, I need freedom. And they're calling on the name of the Lord for that freedom. There's a difference between calling on the name of the Lord and simply just saying the name of Jesus. Because when you call on the name of the Lord, he comes in like a rushing wind. He comes in and says, this one's been bought. He comes in and says, this one's been sealed. And when he comes in, no devil in hell has got authority in your life. No devil in hell has authority in your life. God has the Spirit moving in you. God has the Spirit moving in this place. And God has the Spirit moving not just so you can feel tingly, not just so you can feel good about yourself. He's got the Spirit moving so you can be his hands and feet on this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 It's getting hot in here. It's getting Holy Ghost hot in here. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? Because I know sometimes I'll be, oh man, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I get to be able to practice. I get to put this word together when I'm at home. And even when I was at home, I felt the Holy Ghost coming down over me. And I said, Lord, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen this Sunday. And I said, Lord, but I don't want it to be about me, God. I don't want it to be about me, God. It's got to be about you, God. It's got to be about you, God. Because it's your word. It's your glory. It's your power. So, God, oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you for deliverance, oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for healing, oh, God. We thank you for healing, oh, God. We thank you for healing, oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for salvation, God. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And once we have that salvation, once God has called us to be saved, once we have been saved by the name of Jesus, God calls us to move forward in this world. In 1 Peter 2, 1 to 10, hallelujah. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. To salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Woo, thank you, Lord. I have tasted your kindness, oh God. And it is good. And it is good. Saints, if you have tasted the kindness of God, if you have tasted the kindness of God, I don't care what you see on social media. I don't care what you see in big time names walking away from the faith. If you have truly tasted the kindness of God, you will never yearn for another meal in your life. Because I've tasted the kindness. I have tasted the mercy of God. And because I have tasted, I have seen who my God is. And I will never walk away. I'm going to tell you right now, Satan is going to have to kill me to make me utter another name over Jesus. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? Because we just heard it's Mission Sunday. There's people in Iran. There's people in Iraq. There's people in the Middle East that are choosing Jesus over everything. And they're dying because they understand. They understand that they have tasted and seen the real thing. They have tasted and seen the real thing. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Here's the good part. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are being built up, saints. You are being built up. You're not just one little stone. It says that he's building you up as spiritual houses. Spiritual houses. God is building you up to be a village. He is building you up to be a village. And I've got news for you. If God is building you a house, God is building you a house, you best make sure he's the one living in it. You best make sure that he's the one who's living in it. Because I don't know about you, when I bought my house and I got the keys to my house, when I got to my house, I expected to be the one residing in my house. And so if God is building a house and the keys belong to him, when he gets to the door, you better believe he's expecting to be the one living in it. Now, saints of God, I mean the whole house. I'm not telling you to give God just the master bedroom, the living room, kitchen, and dining room, and then let the devil live in a guest room. All right? I'm talking about the whole house. Because it's God that built the whole house, not just part of it. The whole house. And for this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Will not be disappointed. Does it say he who believes in his wife? Does it say he who believes in her husband? Does it say he who believes in their job? Does it say he who believes in the world? He who believes in him will not be disappointed. Put your faith, put your hope in anything else, and you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my job. I like my job. But I love God. I love God. And I'm telling you right now, if I have to choose between God and anything else, God, you win. I don't care. I don't care, because it is in God that I will never be disappointed. In God. Ask all the people over the course of the last 2 years who lost the jobs that they had hope in. Ask the people who have lost relationships that they have been in over the last 2 years because of disagreements. Ask all the people who lost loved ones over the last 2 years that all of their hope was in. You see, there'd be a lot less hate. There'd be a lot less death, a lot less violence, if there was a whole lot more of God. If there was a whole lot more of God. And it says this precious value then is for you who believe. For those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. The very cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were also appointed. Saints of God, I'm going to tell you right now, not everyone that I have delivered the gospel to picked it up and said, I need this. Not everyone that has come to the church, not everyone who has come to the church has received the gospel and said, this is for me. No. There are some people who have taken that cornerstone and tossed it to the side. Oh, but saints of God, that very stone that they thought that they were casting away was put in the very place that God needed it to be. Because at the end of the day, there is only one way to heaven. One way. His name is Jesus. There's only one way. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get to Jesus. I suggest choose the easy way, because the hard way sucks. That's the way I took, right? But there's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus. And so when those people call, they cast that stone off to the side, guess what? That very stone that they thought they were getting rid of is the very stone that is going to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them. Because that stone is truth. That stone is truth. And I don't know about you, but I serve a God of truth. And so sometimes when I speak truth, it's going to be offensive. It's going to cause people in the world to stumble. And sometimes you got to operate in the uncomfortable truth of the world that men are men. Women are women. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Sometimes you're going to have to bring that truth to the forefront. God's not telling you to pick the stone up and beat them with it. No, all God is telling you is give them the stone, and when they cast it away, he'll make sure they trip over it. Because there is no running away from the truth. There is no running away from God. There is no running away from standing before your Savior. Because whether you accept him or not, whether you accept him or not, does not change the status of his position. I can decide that I don't believe in gravity. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I walk off the cliff, I am in for a rude sleep. Because there is no awake when I reach the bottom. It doesn't matter what your opinions are. God is not a God of opinions. He is a God of truth and truth alone. Truth and truth alone. Oh, but here is the beauty of that truth, saints. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, praise God, saints. You are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. And I'm not talking about your heritage. I'm not talking about your culture. Stop putting your identity in that. Stop putting your identity in, I'm a Puerto Rican, I'm a Dominican, I'm black, I'm white, I'm this, I'm that. I don't care what you are. Did you say yes to Jesus? Then you are a part of a chosen race. You are a part of a holy nation. It doesn't matter what country you're coming from. The country that matters is the holy nation of God. You don't belong to anyone in this world. There's only one who has claimed possession over you, and his name is Jesus. And because that possession has been given to him, oh, saints of God, I pray that you proclaim of his excellencies on this earth. Because he has pulled you out of darkness. He has pulled you out of darkness. He has pulled you out of darkness. So once Christ is in your life, once God is operating fully in your life, his marvelous light is in you. And just the same way as Peter tried to deny him three times, it didn't matter how many times you deny him. The people who are around you, who are in darkness, will always recognize the light in you. You can go ahead and try and hide God. You can go ahead and try and fit in when you have God. But the world will never accept you. The world will never accept you. And you can go ahead and you can try and live one foot in, one foot out. But let me tell you what. You live one foot in and one foot out, you've got no one on your side. Because the world's not going to accept you because one foot is over there. And God's going to be like, I can't do anything through you because one foot's over there. So it's just you. So today, saints, choose. Choose who it is you're going to serve. Choose who it is you are going to serve. For once, you are not a people. But now, you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now, you have received mercy. You have received the mercy of God. So stop letting the enemy condemn you. Stop letting the world remind you. Stop letting the people who you love the most hurt you. Oh, that hit somebody. Because at the end of the day, the one that loves you the most has made you clean. The one who loves you the most has made you new. The one who loves you the most, when you see him again, will be able to utter the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And if that's the case, go out and share that good news. Go out and share the gospel. Because God didn't give you salvation just so that you can keep it for yourself. God has given you value. God has given you worth. So that everyone that you come in contact with will be able to glean from the residuals of the mercy that God has put in your life. Do you hear me, saints? Do you hear me, saints? The Magnificat is a song that Mary sang. What's the song that God has you singing today? What is the song that God has you singing today? Praising him for the mercy and grace that he has deposited in each and every single one of you. Will you proclaim the Lord with me today? Will you magnify the Lord with me today? So saints, let us worship him together, for he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. The song that we have to sing is "I Want to Be Tried by Fire." You know, there's an inside joke with the staff. Do we really want to sing that song? Because you know what that means, right? God, I want to be tried by fire. You know why? Because only when the fire comes will the impurities rise. Only when the fire comes will he be able to remove the things that are not of him. And only when those things are removed will you be able to see the true value that God has placed in each and every single one of you. You see, the more that silver and gold go through that furnace, that refining pot, the more the impurities come to the top, the more God can scoop out. And the beauty is, not only does that precious metal become more valuable, but it becomes more moldable. It becomes more flexible. And so every time we are tried by the fire, our value increases in the kingdom. The effectiveness that we'll have increases in the kingdom. And the flexibility in our lives, the ability to allow God to mold you and shape you, increases every time we go through the fire. So saints, some of us today, we might be in the fire right now. We might be in the fire right now. You may be going through a sickness right now. You may be going through a financial hardship right now. You may be going through things that no one else can ever imagine. But understand that if you've given it to God, you will get through the fire and you will be more valuable in the eyes of God. And that's not a flex. No. That is God. Because at the end, the more valuable you are for the kingdom, the more the kingdom grows. So saints, I pray that you have a song to sing. I pray that you are allowing God to do something in your life. And I pray that you hold on to the truth of his word, that you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. Let us pray. God, we come before you today and we give you thanks. Lord, you have set us free. And what you set free, oh God, will be free indeed. So God, let us be able to walk this earth and speak the truth, oh God, that you've called us to speak. Help us to walk this earth, oh God, and be the hands and feet that you've called us to be. God, help us to live the life that you've called us to live. But God, I pray that you would allow us to do it so that you are the one in the forefront. You are the one, oh God, doing the work. You are the one that receives the praise. So God, we lift it all up to you today. And we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah.